Well, what I say to people I work with in my office is imagine that there's like this raging fire in the basement of your house. And you've got somebody on the second floor saying, hey, can you just help me change this light bulb? You know, people want to lose weight, but they've got this raging case of inflammation, right? I'm always looking at foundational issues.
Hi there, and welcome to the Mother of Reinvention show. I'm Megan Francis, your host. And in this podcast, we're talking about all the ways women reinvent ourselves as we move toward our 40s and beyond. Whether you're hoping to make a career change, are rediscovering parts of yourself that went dormant during the early years of motherhood, or maybe are trying to pay more attention to your health and wellness, Mother of Reinvention is here to inspire and inform you as you ask yourself, what's next? I have long been a believer in the idea that diet and nutrition are super important to our overall health, and that belief is integral to functional nutrition, the idea that food is medicine. But the problem for me is that depending on who you ask, the right medicine can look really different. So by now, we've all gotten the memo about staying away from highly processed foods and avoiding or reducing sugar. But after that, it kind of seems like nutritionists and health experts really diverge on what a, quote, healthy diet, unquote, includes. I have personally gotten so confused and turned around over which foods are really healthy and clean, and there's just so much opinion involved. You've got nutritionists and experts over here who claim that grains cause inflammation, which can cause a ton of health issues. But then on the other side, you've got those who say that meat causes inflammation. To one nutritionist, beans are an important source of fiber and protein, and to another, they damage the gut lining and wreak havoc in your body. So which is it? Who are we supposed to believe? And how are we normal people supposed to find the time and knowledge to dissect medical studies and really figure out how to feed ourselves? It kind of starts to feel like all foods are potential killers, and the older I'm getting, the more urgent it feels to figure it all out. But I've also long thought that it just can't be as simple as one kind of food is bad for everyone while another kind of food is great for everyone. And that's why I was excited to talk with today's guest, Risa Grew. Risa is a functional nutritionist who believes in customizing our approach to food based on our specific bodies and needs. Risa is the creator of the Food Frame approach, which matches you with one of 7 eating lifestyles. She helps find the one that's right for you. It's a great conversation about everything from gut health and healthy fats to carbs and collagen, and Risa really helps demystify something that should be kind of simple and fun, and that's eating. I know you're going to love this conversation with Risa Grew, but before we dive in, I want to give a shout out to this season's sponsor, Vionic. Like you, I'm a busy woman, and Vionic is my go-to for stylish, comfortable footwear that keeps me going. All of Vionic's shoes and boots offer 3-zone comfort that offers stability, cushioning, and amazing arch support, and they have such cute styles and colors, you don't have to choose between healthy feet and looking pulled together. I wear my bright blue suede Willa loafers whenever I want to feel especially pulled together at a work meeting, even if it's on Zoom and they can't see my feet. I feel like a total boss in them, and that's what counts. And with Vionic's 30-day wear test, you can return any pair of shoes for 30 days for a full refund, even if they've been worn outside. So there's no risk. Go to vionicshoes.com and use promo code MORE, that's M-O-R, to get free shipping on your pair of Vionics. Again, that's vionicshoes.com and use the promo code M-O-R for free shipping. Okay, let's get to my interview with functional nutritionist Risa Grew. Hi, Risa. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. I'm really excited about this conversation because, you know, like I said in the intro, I feel like this idea of functional nutrition is something I'm suddenly hearing a lot about. And I know as a woman well into my 40s now, I have this vague idea that it's becoming increasingly important, but I don't truly understand what it is and what it means. So first of all, I would just love for you to tell us what functional nutrition is and then how you work with your patients. What are you actually doing for them and with them?
Excellent question. I love that you're asking that question because functional nutrition and functional medicine is growing. And functional medicine really was created a little over 20 years ago by MDs, medical doctors that were just really frustrated with the pill for an ill paradigm that we have in our Western medicine. So what they started doing is they started looking at root causes. So why is it that I'm getting a headache all the time or a migraine once a week? Instead of a pill for that, there's got to be a root cause to that. So they just kept looking for those root causes. And so that is a primary pillar of what functional medicine, functional nutrition is we look for root causes. Another thing that functional medicine or functional nutrition does is we believe that the body is a whole. It's a connective one whole unit versus a different body parts, where the conventional medicine deals with different body parts. We have specialists for different body parts. We don't really relate that maybe the endocrinologist might have something to do with the orthopedic surgeon. Mm. We don't make those connections. And in functional medicine or functional nutrition, which is what I do, we look at the body as a whole. So everything is interconnected. The gut is absolutely connected with the mind. If there's anxiety, it's usually gut driven, and so on and so forth. So it is really, really important to see the body as a whole. And the other thing that functional nutrition does in functional medicine is we look for prevention. Medical doctors, conventional medicine, conventional nutrition really can only treat disease once disease is found. And so what we do is we look at prevention. So our guidelines on a blood panel, for instance, would be a little bit more narrow. And it's not that they were recreating the wheel. They really were sort of originally this in this range, but blood labs move pretty much quarterly. And so what we do find is that, like, for instance, about a year ago, they just moved the number for cholesterol, total cholesterol. It's always been between 185 and 200, and now they moved it to 99 to 169. Wow. So there's a lot of reasons behind it. I usually think that it's driven by margins and and the bottom line,
right?
Because there's meetings in Washington, and you know how that goes. And so we can't sell more statins if everybody has good cholesterol. So it is unfortunate, but that is the world that we're living in. So functional medicine doesn't typically move the ranges.
Wow. Okay. So I did not realize that. So you're actually, what you're saying is that there wouldn't be enough people to medicate, I guess, is what you're saying, if we kept the ranges where they were. Is that about right?
You know, if everybody was healthier, yeah, we would have a lot less medication. We'd have less insurance issues, right?
Right.
So, yeah, it would, you know, it if, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Like, and I know that, you know, I'm not in medicine myself or nutrition, but I mean, what you're talking about, this idea of people and teams working in silos, as they say, where there's all these different groups kind of working for the bigger picture, but not actually communicating or not actually all working together. That causes problems like anytime. It doesn't matter what the situation is. And in your body, it's your body. So that's, you know, that's really a big deal. And I'm really glad to have this conversation, because I think this is something we haven't been trained to think about, or we just don't even know that's what's happening.
Exactly. And I think that is very much the case, because when people come in to work with me, they don't even realize, you know, they go to the doctor, they get their blood, they look at it, they go, oh, you're good. And they'll see a marker out and they'll say, no, my doctor said it's fine, or something like that. But what we do in functional, I mean, I do very extensive blood testing. So I do a comprehensive blood panel. I'm looking at all 20 markers on the thyroid, because I want to see what's happening with your active thyroid and your inactive thyroid hormone. I want to see if cortisol, your stress hormone, is affecting your thyroid. That's your reverse T3. I want to see if your estrogen is also competing for the thyroid site. I want to see, do you have any antibodies? Doctors do not test for these at all, because insurance companies dictate the test. They will not pay for these tests. So we do it out of pocket, and it's not that expensive. It's a lot less expensive than if you went through your insurance company. But we get all the data, and then I look at all four markers of blood sugar, where doctors typically look at one, they look at your fasting glucose. So I am always looking at every inflammation marker. I'm looking at vitamin D. I'm looking at the breakdown of your white blood cells. Do you have a viral pattern? Is there an underlying Epstein-Barr virus or cytomegalovirus that's taking place? Or is there a bacterial pattern? I look at urine. I mean, I do a very full comprehensive look, and I also do stool testing. So I'm always wanting to know what is in your intestinal lining. I look for 84 pathogens, parasites, bugs, fungus, candida. Are you creating your own digestive enzymes? Do you have fat malabsorption? How are you with gliadin, the protein and gluten? All of those things, those are really critical factors. You know, I always say that I'm really bad at playing darts with all the lights off when I cannot see the target. But when the lights are on and I see the target, I'm a pretty good shooter. Like, you know, I've got a better chance, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, information is very, very helpful. Yeah.
Well, and I love that you're describing all of that testing, because I think that there's this misconception of holistic medicine or holistic nutrition, even, that it's very woo-woo mm-hmm. and like based on, you know, it's just like a hippie mm-hmm. skipping through the weeds, through some wildflowers mm-hmm. and like throwing herbs
exactly.
at you and things. But there's a lot of data. This is very high tech stuff. It's just that you're looking at the whole body. It's not necessarily that like you're really digging in deep on the science, but then looking at the whole picture. And I think that's really important to note.
Exactly. Exactly. And that and is science based. And I used to call myself a holistic nutritionist before I was educated in functional nutrition. But, you know, and holistic is great too. I mean, there's so many different people and you can, you know, there's crazy people in every industry, but you know, I mean, real food at the end of the day is what's going to help us. But
right.
is it, you know, are carrots going to help a thyroid? Not necessarily, right? So we have to find out the science, right?
Right.
You know, I don't care how many carrots you eat, it's just not going to help the thyroid. So we have to figure out, you know, do you have a thyroid issue? And if you do, what does that look like? You know, is it just because you're not producing enough or you're producing too much? Do you have antibodies, like cortisol, you know, all those things? Find out the data. And then once you have a blueprint, then you say, okay, now I have a plan of attack. I can approach this, right?
I'm glad you mentioned, called out a few specific things that you're looking for, because I want to dive into some specifics, and this is a very big question. So feel free to break it down or, you know, take your time mm-hmm. with it. But, you know, the audience for this show is mostly women moving into their 40s or 40s and beyond. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious mm-hmm. if you could give me like the most, I guess, common specific dietary or health issues that you're seeing with women in this age group, and then how you see functional nutrition helping with those issues.
Great question. So I do see a ton of women. I mean, I see about 40, 50 people in my office in 4 days every week. Mm-hmm. And I see a ton of women in that age group. So what I do see very common in that age group is hormones shifting a little bit. But thyroid is really, 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 really big, because thyroid tends to kick off when we have babies. Mm. So these are people who have had babies maybe in their 30s and they just don't feel well. They think, oh, I'm tired because of the babies and I'm not sleeping and I'm running and I'm going. Or, you know, they might feel, you know, they're eating poorly or something like that. And that triggers their fatigue. So we see a lot of that, and there comes some depression, some anxiety. We do see a lot of that in 40s as well. But thyroid, again, is huge. That can get triggered from pregnancies. It can get triggered from stress. It can get triggered from lack of sleep. It can get triggered from pathogens, or there's a couple parasites that can trigger some Hashimoto, some autoimmune. So we do see a ton of autoimmune with thyroid, Hashimoto's or Graves, mostly Hashimoto's, meaning an underactive thyroid where the body is attacking itself. So we look for antibodies to that. But we also see different kinds of autoimmune. Fibromyalgia, I see a lot. Arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis is autoimmune. So autoimmune becomes very present in the 40s as well. So that's another one. The other thing I look for is blood sugar dysregulation. Mm-hmm. You know, this is where the bottle of wine comes in at night and the kids are exhausting. And so I'll pour a glass of wine or two at night. They're going out, they're being social, maybe not getting enough sleep. And so what happens is we see blood sugar dysregulation. Blood sugar dysregulation is a big deal. It's a big deal because it causes inflammation. Mm-hmm. And we know that inflammation is where disease loves to live. So, I look at not just fasting glucose and hemoglobin A1C, which tells us where your blood sugar is for the last 3 months. This is what we use to determine, are you pre-diabetic or are you diabetic or are you fine? But I also order a C-peptide, which is our most stable marker for insulin, and I order a fasting insulin. That tells me about your pancreas, how hard your pancreas is working, how much insulin do you have in your body? Now, what I do typically find with a lot of women in their 40s is that they become insulin resistant, meaning that When you eat carbohydrates or sugar or anything that turns into sugar, so it could be a tangerine, it could be a brownie, it could be a sweet potato or a French fry, and that it signals the body to tell the pancreas, pump out some insulin. Insulin's a hormone that goes to that sugar or that carbohydrate. It converts it into glycogen, and then glycogen is then sent to every cell in the body. We have trillions of cells in the body, and they all have these little receptors on them. And if they cannot get into, if the receptors are closed or blocked or broken, they cannot get into the cell. That's where our mitochondria is located, inside the cell. And our mitochondria is what makes energy. Those are our energy factories. So if we can't penetrate the cell, it's an extraordinarily effective way to gain weight. You just park it into fat tissues and fat cells. We become tired because we don't create that energy, that ATP from the mitochondria, and we just gain weight. Another very effective way of gaining weight is giving the cell more glycogen than it needs, and it takes the excess and parks it into fat cells and fat tissues. But what we want to do is test for insulin resistance, because what we want to do is open up those receptors, decrease the sugar consumption, or the sugar or carbohydrate consumption, and make sure those receptors are open, so that what you are eating is feeding the cell and we're not putting excess in. I see that as a huge issue for women. No conventional doctor that I know, I've never seen a lab walk in my office ever with those markers ever ordered. Yeah. So knowing that, it is the first step to diabetes and pre-diabetes. So if you can nip it in the bud at that stage, it would be so much more helpful than waiting another year, two, three, four, right, five, until you're fully diabetic. And it's sort of a little bit of a long climb back from there.
Right.
But doable. We do it in here all the time. But still, I'd rather know right away. So that's what I test for.
Yeah. So when you're talking about things like thyroid issues, maybe caused that can be caused by diet or helped with diet. I mean, I know those are maybe two mm-hmm. different things. But and blood sugar dysregulation. When you're mm-hmm. talking about the person who maybe doesn't have a full-out disease yet that would be diagnosable, like Hashimoto's or pre-diabetes or diabetes, how long does it take for those changes to help? I think sometimes we just flail around, like trying new things, because there's so much information out there and we don't really mm-hmm. know how long to expect to feel better or how long it might take for something to be effective. And I don't know that there's a lot of guidance out there. So I'm sure there's a range, but just in general, is it longer than you think, shorter than you think?
You know, I wish I had an answer for this. Yeah. I wish every person who walked in my office, I could say, give me 17 days or, you know, 52 days. But every body is different and there's so many different factors. Is there an underlying pathogen or virus, or, you know, what are your vitamin D levels look like? I mean, vitamin D is huge, right? So that's another thing I see with women in their 40s is low vitamin D. I have another, I can jump back and answer that question also. Anxiety. I see a lot of anxiety in 40s as well. And I want to talk about that for a little bit too, but the complicated issue, but I see a boatload of it there. And it typically stems from a gene mutation that's super common. And I test every single person in my office for it. It's called MTHFR, and it's a super common gene mutation. I have it. Both my kids have it. It's 100% genetic. So you either got it from mom or dad or both. And basically what it means is that you're not methylizing or processing either your B12 and or your folate, your B9. So you have to first test to find out which one you have, if you have either of them. Pretty much 90% of the population has it. And the symptoms of MTHFR is ADD, ADHD, autism, bipolar, schizophrenia, anxiety, depression, migraines, headaches, miscarriages, and infertility.
My kids, it really runs the gamut. Apart.
It does.
Yeah.
Okay. It does. But I mean, it's really one of the first things I test for, because B vitamins are so incredibly important. And if somebody walks in my office and they're a vegan and they're not even eating B vitamins, then they're really at a loss. So that's a big one. B vitamins, if it's in a methylcobalamin form where you can absorb it, makes a ton of difference, especially for anxiety. I treat a ton of 17 to 20-year-old kids with B vitamins with anxiety, and it's amazing what you see with that.
Wow.
So that's another big factor for women in their 40s.
Wow. All right, well, we're going to take a really quick break. And when we get back, I want to dive into just all the different dietary, I guess, options, lifestyles there are out there and how confusing that can be. And I know that part of what you do is help make sense of that and like tailor it mm-hmm. to your individual needs. So I'm really excited to talk about that. And we will be right back. Hey, everyone. I just want to pop in really quick to remind you that you can still listen to season one of the Mother of Reinvention show. If you're just finding this podcast now, you're definitely going to want to check out our amazing lineup of guests from the first season. I talked to such cool women like Dagmara Kakonis, who went for her first hike at 40 and then wound up starting an adventure travel company for women. Angeline Bully, who didn't start writing until her 40s and is now the author of Firekeeper's Daughter, which has been blowing up the best-selling charts since last spring. And travel writer and TV personality Heather Greenwood Davis, who took her then young sons on a year-long around-the-world trip 10 years ago, but these days is doing a lot more solo travel. Just scroll down in your podcast app to find last season's interviews, or you can head to motherofreinventionshow.com to find them there. Okay, back to the interview. Okay, Risa, so like I hinted before, I mean, right now there are so many diets, and sometimes they're not called diets, but they're like lifestyle, you know, they're eating lifestyle choices and things like that, but they're getting so much attention. And I mean, I could rattle them off, but people are talking about keto and paleo. Vegan's been around for a long time. There's an anti-inflammatory diet. It can be really confusing to sort through those. Some have just enough overlap to be even more confusing, and some are sort of held out as like the one choice, you know, the one almost like a moral decision, like you're on board with this or you're just eating an unhealthy way. And I think that you seem to work with patients who are eating in a variety of ways. I'm wondering if that was an intentional choice. Are there popular styles of eating that you find your clients having really good success with? And how do you really help them choose the way of eating that's best for them and healthiest for them?
Great question also. So I wrote the book Food Frame, and it'll be coming out this fall. And for the exact reason that you're mentioning, because people are very confused. You know, your neighbor, your sister, your cousin just did this diet and she's lost 40 pounds, but you went on keto and you gained 2 pounds. Like, you cannot figure it out. You're eating all the bacon you can possibly fit into your mouth every day and you can't lose weight. Not every diet is for every person. Not every person is for every diet. We all have different makeups. As I mentioned, we all have different landscapes. We all have different health concerns and we all have different genetics. So not one size ever fits all. I'm not a big fan of diets. You know, the subtitle of my book is Diet is a Four-Letter Word, because it's not a diet. We shouldn't be on something restrictive, but we should be on something that optimizes our eating for our body, for whatever our health status is. And that may change. You may start off at keto because you have really high blood sugars, and keto is great for really high blood sugars. And then once you stabilize that, you might move into a paleo program, which is pretty much sort of basic for everybody. It's going to keep your blood sugars down. It's going to maintain that. It is optimal for most people across the board, but not everybody. And you might not start there, but you might end there. So what I recommend is taking my Food Frame quiz on my website at Risa Grew Nutrition. And there's just about 12 questions. It's really brief. And you get an idea, you know, are you bloating? Because if you're bloating, vegan might not be the way to go for you. You might have an underlying case of SIBO, which is small intestinal bacteria overgrowth. And that vegan diet is just consisting of all these legumes and grains. It is going to bloat you like crazy. So that wouldn't be something I would recommend for you. So what I do, that my book Food Frame highlights 6 main diets, and including my RGN detox, which I start everybody out with because we have to clean the body out, because we store toxins. There's 5 reasons why we do not lose weight. I get these people coming in my office all the time. I've done everything. I eat great. I exercise and I cannot lose weight. There's 5 reasons why. The first is blood sugar dysregulation, as I mentioned. The second is thyroid. That's our metabolism. Our third is cortisol. That's our stress hormone. If out of balance, whether high or low, we'll have time losing weight. Another one, an imbalance of sex hormones will prevent you from losing weight. And the fifth reason is a toxic overload. So everybody loses weight on my detox. That's not why I do it. It is not a weight loss program. I say that over and over and over again. Everybody does lose weight on it, but I believe that weight loss is a side effect of wellness. So I'm always focusing on wellness. But the book highlights 7 major diet types, or eating lifestyles is what I call them, which you refer to. So paleo, keto, AIP, which is autoimmune, and vegan, and low FODMAP. And low FODMAP stands for low fermented oleosaccharides, disaccharides, and monosaccharides and polyols. And those are different types of fiber that cause bloating if you have what's called SIBO or IBS or IBD. That's what I recommend for those people. So what I do is I look at, you're just not a blanket person on a blanket slate, and we say, oh, here's this diet for the masses. So, and not that those all are bad. Some of them are great and they all have their advantages and disadvantages, but I'm a little bit more customized than that. And I believe that you should eat for your health status.
Well, I'm really glad that you mentioned that you've got seven that you talk about in this book, because even as you were talking about, you know, legumes and things like that, I was like, oh, but there's this whole school of thought that they're terrible for everybody. And it sounds like what you're saying is if you have whatever's going on internally that would make that bad for you, then yeah, maybe that's not the kind of diet you want, but maybe for some people that totally works. And I think that's very different
exactly
from what we typically hear. There are like these mm-hmm. disciples of one kind or another, and
my way or the highway,
exactly, and they can be actually quite violent at times, like very vehement, and it's I actually took your quiz, by the way, and it was very easy to take and kind of fun. I hadn't really thought about all of those questions together before, and the recommendation for me was paleo, so it looks like I'm kind of normal.
Perfect.
Right.
Yeah. And that's how I eat. You know, I've been on other ones before, but now my body's great. I could check my blood work. It's good for me for now.
Yeah. Well, and I also like that you mentioned weight loss being a sign of wellness or a side effect of wellness rather than the whole point. Because I think if all we thought about was weight loss, we might make some choices that wouldn't be so healthy and probably the weight loss wouldn't even last.
Well, what I say to people I work with in my office is imagine that there's like this raging fire in the basement of your house. We've got this full on fire and you've got somebody on the second floor saying, hey, can you just help me change this light bulb? And you're like, what? We've got a fire. We got to put this fire out. And you want to change the light bulb? Like that's what, you know, people want to lose weight, but they've got this raging case of inflammation, right? I'm always looking at foundational issues. So that's systemic inflammation and gut health. If those two are not in balance, if you have raging inflammation or you have poor gut health or dysbiosis and imbalance of good and bad gut bacteria, you're going to have a tough time losing weight. Mm. You have to get the fire out before you can start changing the light bulb.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned your detox, which I know is a huge part of your program. I know there's also a lot of misunderstanding out there about what a detox actually is and what you have to do to detox your body and what's actually happening. So please tell us more about that.
Sure. So I'm a firm believer in detoxifying. Just to give you an idea, the FDA in the United States has approved over 82,000 chemicals for us, more than any other country on the planet, over 3,000 of which we can eat. And we're at a rate of about 2,000 chemicals approved a year, regardless of who's in the White House. So they're getting done. And the sad thing is most of these aren't even tested, which is crazy. So we are inundated with toxins. And just to give you an idea, the average American female comes in contact with over 200 toxins just before she's left the bathroom each morning. So think about the toxins in your shampoo and your conditioner, your soap, your perfume, your moisturizer, your body cream, your nail polish, your makeup, your deodorant is a huge one. So we're inundated with toxins and they build up. They live in fat cells and fat tissues. This is why we lose weight, because we get rid of the toxins that come out of the fat cells. But a buildup of those toxins will create inflammation. Our homocysteine, which is a marker on our blood work, will tend to go up. And we become very toxic. I see it in here all the time. It's like you never clean out your garage. And you just keep putting more stuff in it, right?
And then it gets eventually, harder and harder to clean out. I know this from experience.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So we need to take a break. And, you know, what I recommend is once a quarter originally for the first year or so. And then maybe twice a year. I detox about 2 to 3 times a year, still every year. I've been doing it for over 20 years. I literally tried every detox on the market. I've done the Master Cleanse and I passed out. And I've done colonic cleanses where you don't eat. Juice cleanses are not really cleanses. They're just liquid. So that gives your digestion a little bit of a break, but you're really not getting any fiber. So it doesn't attach to anything. It doesn't escort any toxins out. It just gives your digestion a break. And most of them have a ton of sugar and they're pressed like 7 days. So you really lose the nutrients. So I'm not a big fan of those juice. I call them juice fasts. Okay. But there are some decent detoxes out there, but I created mine because I was so frustrated with a really effective one. And it's not about starvation. Like you should not be hungry on a detox. You should be eating real food without chemicals, but foods that are easily digestible. So in my detox, I'm a big fan of collagen. You're having 2 collagen shakes. In addition to the collagen protein, there is amino acids and antioxidants to help open up pathways 1 and 2. And so you're having those and I focus with every single person I work with, no matter what diet type or lifestyle you're on, you're eating protein, fat, and fiber. Protein, fat, and fiber is what we need to sustain, to survive, and thrive. So you're having protein, fat, and fiber each time you are eating. There is animal protein, unlimited vegetables, any way you want them, but deep fried. And then there are a couple of little exceptions. We take out some peas, string beans, and corn. You're having sweet potato and yams if you so desire, and good fats, avocado, olives, nuts, eggs, seeds, good oils, not rancid oils like canola oil. Yes, everybody loses weight and they love it, but I'm more concerned about the inflammation and the headaches go away and the energy comes up and the bowels start working regularly and it just cleans out the liver. And it cleans out the whole body. And it's such a great way to start. It puts bumpers on the eating and you just feel great. So that's what I usually start with. And I just think it's critically important. And I'm proven right every day because I see people come in here and their joint pain is gone. Their headaches are gone. They don't have any cravings or sugar cravings, which is amazing. Their skin is good. There's no brain fog and it's just a good thing to do for your body at least twice a year.
Okay. I love hearing that explanation that it's because I've done a juice fast before. It wasn't very pleasant. Partly because I don't particularly like juice like that way anyway. So then it's kind of like, great, all I'm going to do is 3 or 5 days of juice I don't even like, and I'll be hungry the whole time. So I love the idea of eating real
with
food.
No protein.
With no protein. So I'm just shaky and starving. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
So you mentioned collagen. And I know that's a big part of your detox program and your overall philosophy is that that's something that we really need. I think that's another one of those things. It's like we see there's these powders you can get and then you'll read an article that says, well, the body really can't absorb it in certain ways or can't, you know, use it in certain ways. I kind of get what collagen is, but I need you to break this down for me. First of all, really, what is it? What's the big deal around it? And how are we able to truly incorporate it or I guess increase it in our bodies by taking it internally? Like as a food item.
I'm so glad that you asked this because it is confusing and there's a lot of collagen products out there and for good reason. Collagen is really, really important and I am a huge fan of it. So it is our most abundant protein in our bodies. It basically is 25 to 35% of our whole body protein content. And it's something that we produce. And as we age, our collagen production decreases. So it is incredibly important to replace it. This is why we get wrinkles, because we lose that elasticity that's built from collagen, right? So it's really important to continue to have collagen or have the body create collagen. And vitamin C is really helpful for collagen production and some other foods. But collagen is based, it's basically comes from 3 major amino acids that we find in animal bones. So you can find it in any kind of poultry and beef, a little bit in marine life bones, but most abundantly in any kind of animal that's, you know, walking on the earth. And there are these 3 major amino acids that are comprised of collagen. And so these bones need to be heated for, if it's poultry, 24 hours, and if it's beef, it's 48 hours. And that way you get the actual amino acids out of the bones, and it becomes very gelatinous. So if you look at bone broth, which has collagen in it as well, if it's heated the right way, it will be gelatinous at room temperature. If it's liquid at room temperature, it doesn't have collagen in it. Collagen's a very sticky substance. And so what collagen does, the benefits of collagen, it's super helpful for the intestinal lining. So I call it grout for leaky gut. So there isn't a day basically that I don't have a collagen shake or I have collagen bars. My collagen paleo bars are chocolate. They're amazing. And they provide collagen. I have collagen probably at least twice a day, every day. It strengthens joints and connective tissue. So anybody with joint pain, I am saying you must be having collagen. Again, it's skin elasticity. It's great for growth of hair and nails. It's great for muscle mass, heart health even, and bones. It helps with bones as well. But it's such a great protein source, and it doesn't have any downside. So there really isn't anybody, unless you are a strict vegan, that you shouldn't be eating collagen. Now, if you are a strict vegan, I mean, I don't eat beef. I haven't eaten beef since I'm 17. I eat every other animal protein, but it's just amino acids from bone. So it isn't the beef. It isn't any kind of meat from the animal. So I do have a number of vegans that I work with who do eat collagen and will take collagen, even though they don't eat animal protein. And I have collagen and chocolate and vanilla. So every day, I mean, today I had my typical collagen, chocolate collagen, and I put coconut cream in it because it's a good fat. And I put flax seeds and hemp seeds this morning. I always put Brazil nuts for the selenium for my thyroid conversion. And protein, fat, and fiber in that shake. And it's great. I get so many compliments on my skin all the time. And I'm sure it's because of the way I eat also. I eat a lot of leafy greens, but I take collagen every single day. So it's great for everybody to use it. Mine has 21 grams of protein. It's a very absorbable source of protein. So, most collagens on the market today are pretty good. You always have to look to make sure that they're super clean and there's no crap in it. But yeah, and I use it for baking. I make collagen cookies and collagen brownies and collagen pudding and mousse. And I use it for everything.
Wow. Do you have like some recipes for that? Because that sounds amazing.
Yeah. Tons. Yeah. Tons.
On my website. I will check those out. That sounds great.
I'm entertaining Saturday night. I'm going to make my chocolate collagen pudding.
I love it. Do you tell people when they come over that it's chocolate collagen pudding, or you just serve it up as pudding?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's good for you.
Yeah. Love it. Well, you also mentioned
good stuff.
You mentioned protein. And I think that is another one of those confusing things. We know we need it. We don't really know how much we need. Why is this so important? You mentioned earlier, every meal needs to have protein, fat, and fiber, I think were the three things you said. Mm-hmm. So are most women not getting enough protein? Is protein overblown? Like, help us out with this.
Yeah, so women in their 40s should have about 52 grams of protein a day. And, you know, that's a little wiggle room there. And if you're really, really active, you might need a little bit more. If you're not as active, you might not need as much. And protein, you can have animal protein or you can have plant-based protein. So our plant-based proteins are beans, nuts, and seeds. But there's protein in vegetables too. Not as much, but you can absolutely get protein in vegetables. So really important to have protein because it helps build muscle, and protein is just essential for every system in the body, critical for brain. And we just need protein for growth hormone and everything. Amino acids are basically the building blocks of protein. So amino acids, again, like collagen, those are the building blocks for protein. So, and we find amino acids in tons of foods. So protein it's really, really important for everything.
Yeah, because I think that, I'm trying to think, you said 50, how many grams?
About 52 grams for women in their 40s.
Yeah. I mean, I've read everything and I know that like so much of this is just, you know, people have their opinions or their point of view about things like that. And I've read everything from we don't get nearly enough and need tons more, or it's overblown and most Americans already get enough. And I think that that's another one of those things that's very hard to figure out if you're just a normal person trying to make choices at mealtime.
Yeah. I mean, I would suggest people track their protein intake for about a week just to see if they are hitting the marker. And they may, you know, if they're fatigued, they may realize that they need more protein, but we need it, you know, for our muscles and our skin. As I mentioned, we need it for repair, for tissue repair. It's really important for red blood cells and just the whole body regulation really needs protein. So, again, you can have, you know, a couple lentils that will give you a fair amount of protein. That's the highest in the plant legume family.
Yeah.
But again, you can get it in green leafies, just not as much. Collagen is a great source. So if you're having a collagen shake at 21 grams of protein, then you're halfway there or almost halfway there. And, you know, so you just have a big leafy green salad with some chicken, fish, or turkey, or beef on it, and you've pretty much taken care of your protein. And then your third meal can be vegetarian, or it could have some more animal protein.
Yeah,
it's you can't really overdose on protein.
That's good to know.
I mean, yeah, I mean you could see it in your blood work, but I rarely see too much protein.
Well, and that kind of leads me to a question about macros. I feel like suddenly macros are getting so much attention, and there's this idea that there's a perfect balance of macros. And just for anybody who doesn't know, that's what protein, carbs, and fat, right? So
correct.
Do you think that there's a perfect balance just over like across the board? Or again, is this one of those very individualized things?
Exactly. So I customize everything to everyone. So I work with a lot of professional athletes. Those people need to eat a little bit more protein. So they need a little bit more carbohydrates as well. They're burning, you know, depending on what their fat storage is, we tailor that carbohydrate intake to them. Fat across the board is really important for everyone. It's great for brain development. We need it for heart health. We need it for everything, but quality fats. I'm real picky about my fats. They've got to be good quality. If I go to a restaurant, and I used to go to this restaurant, I won't say the name, but it's national, and it's got this healthy vibe to it, and they have all these vegan dishes and, I mean, incredible salads. And I was going there for years until I finally said, what kind of oil do you guys use in your salad dressings? And it just never would have occurred to me that this really healthy sort of fancy European, you know, very, you know, beautiful place would have soybean oil. And I said to the waiter, is that true? And he said, he shook his head. He goes, I know, I can't believe it. And I went to another location and they confirmed it because I said, there's just no way. So that soybean oil it's rancid. They heat it up. It's highly processed. And that is causing a tremendous amount of inflammation. I'll see that in a triglyceride number if people are having a lot of rancid inflammatory oils. And that's a really sneaky way to just destroy your health without even trying. I mean, I'd much rather do it by earning it and having pizza every day and candy. Yeah. Right, exactly. There's no benefit here. Right. There's no joy to eat that soybean oil. So fats are important, but good quality fats. And carbohydrates are different. So I do those specifically for each individual that I work with, because if you're trying to lose weight, you want to decrease your carbohydrate load for the reasons that I mentioned earlier, is that you want to pull from the storage, right? We don't want to supply. It's like, Megan, if I took your car every night and if you took gas and I emptied the gas tank and you were empty every morning and you'd have to go to storage every morning to get some gas to fuel your car. Conversely, if I took your car every night and I filled it up with gas, you'd never have to go get storage. So what I'm always trying to say to people is, you know, if you want to lose weight, you want to give your body less than it needs so that it has no choice but to pull from the storage unit. So that would be a very customized answer for each individual. But we do need carbohydrates, and every food has carbohydrates on the planet, with the exception of animal protein that has zero carbohydrates. You know, most dairies don't have any carbohydrates, or oils. Oils, high fats, don't typically have any carbohydrates. Coconut cream doesn't typically, you know, negligible. Olives are negligible as well. So most foods have carbohydrates. So you are getting carbohydrates. You just don't want simple carbohydrates, which are your sugars and your processed breads. You want complex carbohydrates, which we find in vegetables. All vegetables have carbohydrates.
All right.
And same thing with protein. You want good quality protein. You want grass-fed, grass-finished. We have to ask for the grass-finished now because the cattle farmers have found a way, a loophole that they can say
they're grass-fed. To get around the certification, right? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. 30 days before slaughter, they can feed them all the grain they want because fat grain makes us fat.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I want to finish just by talking about something you've touched on a few times, Risa, but we haven't really dug into, and that is gut health and inflammation. I know those aren't the same topic, but it does seem like from what you've said, there's a lot of, there's just a lot of things dovetailing here. Like your gut health directly seems to affect your inflammation, and inflammation plays a huge part in overall health. So I would just love for you to talk about gut health. What does that mean? We're hearing so much about that right now. And then how does that all play into inflammation? And then what, and then I guess, how do those two work together for your overall health?
So gut health is key. It's just really such a major foundational issue. And I always just work on the gut, always, you know, first. I mean, I could be working on other things too, and I'm decreasing inflammation, but gut health is critical. So we have over a trillion bacteria in our guts, and we're comprised of both good and bad gut bacteria. We need a balance of both. What proliferates your bad bacteria? Bread, sugar, dairy, alcohol. What kills our good gut bacteria? Bread, sugar, dairy, alcohol, prescription medications, all antibiotics just wipe that slate clean. Birth control pills are really a big factor in that. Fried food, processed food, and there's our friend stress plays a part in eating up our good gut bacteria. So why do we need so much good gut bacteria? 75 to 85% of our immune system is produced in our gut. That's our army, right? That's our defense line. So we absolutely want a very, you know, I want to bring my A game every day when I go to war, right? 90% of our serotonin, our happy hormone, is produced in our gut. And I can go on and on and on, but suffice it to say that if we are deficient in our in nutrients in our gut, we are going to start taking spokes out of the wheel, which is exactly what happens. That's where people walk into my office. They've already taken out a few spokes, maybe a lot of spokes. Maybe the bike stopped working, you know? So hopefully we catch them before then. But what we want to do is replenish that gut and make sure, do you have all your nutrients? Do you have all your vitamins, your minerals? Are you eating enough fiber? Are you pooping every day? Are you taking out your trash? That is a huge factor. If you are not pooping every day, or if you are pooping majorly, you know, four times a day, or you're having chronic diarrhea, something is wrong. You must look into that. So our guts are really, really, really critical. And that's why I do the stool test, our own secretory IgA that tells us about our immunity in our gut. So it gives us a great idea of what's going on in the gut. And of course, food is a huge contributor to that. What we eat matters. If we're eating sugar and inflammatory foods like bread, sugar, dairy, and alcohol, if we're eating lots of chemicals and additives and preservatives and herbicides and pesticides and glyphosate, of course, we are going to create inflammation in the gut. That is going to translate throughout the entire body.
Wow.
That's where disease lives. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is so much to think about. And I'm really glad that you have so many resources on your website, because I think that will help people, you know, after they listen to this, maybe go get a little more context and make sense of it. So talk a little bit, just really quick before we wrap up, about your food frame method, and how people can interact with that on your website, which is risagrewnutrition.com. But what they can find there, and I know you have a book coming out too.
Yeah, so on the website is tons of recipes according to all seven eating lifestyles, the RGN detox and the six other eating lifestyles. And I have a boatload of recipes on there. I have the quiz that you can take for the food frame to find out what your food frame is. And then I have also a how toxic are you quiz to see if you detox. And so I have a ton of also lots of information. There are a lot of articles that I've written through the years. I've got a bunch of my TV appearances on there as well, but lots of articles, I go into detail about the food frame method there. And then I have as well my products. So my detox and weight loss support, my bars and my collagen protein, all my supplements, vitamins, things like that on there. So everything that I do is, I'm extraordinarily picky about what goes into my body and my children's body. And we all eat all of these things and take all these supplements. Everything is gluten, dairy, and soy free, sugar free. I sweeten anything with allulose, which is a fairly new sweetener on the market. It comes from figs and raisins, jackfruit. And
I love it allulose, spike blood by sugar the way. Levels. I would just
Isn't
love
it great?
To,
I'm so glad tastes, you know it.
No, that's what I switched from sugar to allulose in my I have a morning cup of English breakfast and I always have allulose. It tastes just like sugar. It doesn't have that weird aftertaste that a lot of those other sweeteners do. Yeah, I love it.
Exactly. And it doesn't spike blood sugar levels and it doesn't cause any gastric upset. So it's almost a free food.
It's perfect.
And when I tell it is perfect because the FDA makes us register it as a carbohydrate. But our body really doesn't digest it. So it just goes through the system, doesn't cause any harm. So we really don't even have any carbohydrates from it. So I use allulose exclusively when I bake at home. But I'm telling you, we will see a lot of allulose in the future. And it is amazing.
Well, I am looking at your lemon ginger tartlet recipe right now, which appears to be like completely clean. And I don't see anything in it that anybody could have any problems with. So that looks like a great one to start with. But
this is delicious.
It looks delicious. This has been such a great conversation, Risa.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I've really enjoyed it.
Yes. And I will definitely, direct people toward your book and the food frame quiz. I enjoy taking that. And I think that it's just there's a lot to learn about our bodies. And maybe things that no one's been telling us. And I'm so glad that you did. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much. And eat healthy.
Well, thanks everyone for listening to this episode of Mother of Reinvention. Like always, everything from today's episode will be in the show notes at motherofreinventionshow.com. And don't forget to check out our sponsor, Vionic, and my favorite fall loafer, the Willa Flat. Remember, you can get free shipping by going to vionicshoes.com and using the code MORE, that's M-O-R, at checkout. If you are loving this show, it would help me out a lot if you leave me a rating or review wherever you listen to podcasts. And remember, you can always send an email at motherofreinventionshow@gmail.com. Okay, friends, thanks so much for listening, and we'll be back with another great episode next Thursday. Talk to you soon.